Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Josh Flanagan from iFanboy.com. I have a .com too.
Welcome back, Josh. One of our oldest guests, age-wise.
One of our longest-serving guests. One of the people who's been trapped here the longest with us.
You're going to die here, you know.
We are talking about The Force Awakens, of course, and we're talking about minute 21, Blackjack. It starts off with Poe Dameron telling Finn that he needs a pilot, and it ends with troopers attempting to stop that ship by blasting them.
Yeah, the way that this starts, this is the beginning of the bromance right here. We see them they go from the kind of, you know, captive and prisoner, or, you know, not co-conspirators, but they're, you know, it's like they're very much a utilitarian relationship here. And then once Poe says to him, "Wait, you need a pilot," and then he gets this kind of smile on his face, then they become buds, like, instantly.
Yeah, and then my first note here is Wacky Poe. Like, he gets a little wacky. And yeah. I was trying to... And I watched the beginning of the movie before I got to these minutes, so I had a little more context than I remembered. And I think this is the first part that he got, like, oh, the movie's gonna be like this. Like, a little silly. Like, and you know, Poe Dameron's gonna have fun with it, I guess.
I would say one, there's the part where he says, "Who talks first?" When all the apparatus and all that. But then this is definitely, like, he wasn't smiling when he was doing that. That was him kind of like reacting to he was reacting out of fear to a situation.
I thought that was a battle, an interrogation tactic.
Right.
Them off, but here, like, it was one of the first bits where you sort of saw where the line was going to be for the tone of humor in this movie.
Yeah,
which was pretty important given where the line for the humor was in the three that came before it.
Wait a minute, 90s.
And I don't even mean it's not even a criticism of the other movies, but like, pretty early on, you're like, oh, this is the sense of humor in these movies. This is not so much me. And so when this happened, I had to sort of try to, like, judge the, like, am I okay with this level of silliness? And this week that we're going to do these minutes have a few of those moments where you're sort of watching, like, how Finn and Poe are going to act and sort of where that tone is going to fall. Yeah. And I think in retrospect, I was like, okay, this is good. I can work with this. This is all right for me.
Yeah. The very first joke we see in this minute where Finn's like, he's like, Poe's like, why are you saving me? And he's like, because it's the right thing to do or something. And then he says, you need a pilot. And then Finn repeats, I need a pilot. That seems like such a modern type joke, that kind of like dry repeating of the question or the other thing that the other person said.
And I think that's good. You know, it's one of those things. You can't make a movie just like the old ones. You shouldn't. It won't work, ultimately. But they sort of took a little of that and then made it a little more modern so that not everybody in the movie felt like they were, you know, doing like a, you know, like an old-timey play where they all had to overact in a way that isn't, you know. I thought it was a nice melding of sort of a modern sensibility with what you know of as Star Wars, I think.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate it now. I in the back of my mind is a little like, it's like I in my calendar there's a little like alert to worry in the future that, you know, maybe this won't hold up, you know, like 20 years from now it'd be like, oh, that's such a, you know, 2010s yeah. movie,
like a Kevin Smith movie,
right? But
I feel that way about in Last Jedi with the whole leave a message for Hux thing. To me, that was too far.
That was yes. I mean, we're not talking about that movie, so I won't
save it.
Yeah.
I'll write that down. You're gonna have to have me on for that minute.
Set an alarm for yourself to worry in the future. Well, then, so we cut from that to before we, there's another example of this humor, but before we do that, there's a quick shot that I wanted to point out that's a very new Star Wars, not in the humor, but just in the pure kind of like, you know, cinematography, the pure just kind of layout visually. It's new language for this. Yeah. And it's this really low angle. It's like the camera's basically like on the floor of the docking bay as they walk by. You see the mouse droid go by and the Poe and Finn kind of come, you know, from behind the camera to the left. And it's interesting. It's good. You know, you get to see more of the docking bay. And it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, they're in a familiar-ish looking, like this clearly reads Star Wars docking bay, but they're able to do some new things kind of in it. They're, you know, branch out, be more, I don't know if it's necessarily just being modern, but it's being more, you know, it's J.J. Abrams being who he is.
Yeah. There's another shot also that, because I think, Star Wars did not use a lot of camera movement in its, its movie. And there's another shot in this one where I think it was kind of cool where Poe and Finn are climbing up the stairs to get in the TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera, as they're going up the stairs, the camera zooms in on the cockpit right before he jumps into it. And then it cuts to him jumping into the cockpit. But even just zooming into the cockpit was something we never saw we never saw shots like that in classic Star Wars.
Yeah.
And again, just like the humor, it's funny because I remember one of my initial worries. You know, there was the lens flare joke about J.J. Abrams where it was sort of going to have that kind of visual style. And I think there's some of it, but it wasn't overblown. And then I was also afraid somebody would be hit by a bus from off screen. but that didn't happen. So it's okay. But I think, you know, it's one of my overall sensibilities of this movie when I saw it was at the end of it. I was like, oh, that was a nice blend of old and new. Whereas, you know, if we're talking about the prequels, it was too much. That's a good example of like he was trying to do something old timey and it came across very strangely. I think it didn't play in a lot of instances. Particularly that stood out to me in Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
With sort of the way that it was played. So I don't know. It kind of worked.
Like a 16th century like Elizabethan drama. Isn't that what he... He tried to pawn it off as some kind of, it was a particular style from like the, you know, Japanese theater kind of thing. I thought I remember him trying to justify it with
I feel like he would have said that about episode 4. That sounds more like, it was a Bushido play.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're right. That zoom is pretty obvious. Like it doesn't, and it doesn't feel like Star Wars, but yeah, but it works. It doesn't bother me, I don't think.
Yeah, again, we'll see what, we'll see where we end up
years
from now. But right now it works. I like it. I'm enjoying it.
It's funny because they're I feel like they're incredibly conspicuous in that hangar.
Yeah.
Like they're chatting. They're not like he's a beaten bloody prisoner and they're not walking towards anything that they would be going to. And I just am like, no one is paying any attention and they're right out in the middle of everything. And it makes me anxious.
They're basically walking to space.
Like, yeah, but, exactly.
I don't know. Everybody, you know, people are minding their own business.
Well, I you know, if you're going to go with human nature, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Well, I don't want to be the one to write the paperwork up on that. It'll be fine. If you see something, say something is a myth.
Right.
Yeah. Or I would assume that, well, they must, someone else must have approved this. I don't want to stop them and then be like, what are you doing? I'm supposed to be bringing this prisoner to the TIE fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This
and in the Empire, if you make the wrong call on that, you could get disintegrated.
Right.
Right.
I know it's not the Empire, but I'm going to call it the Empire right now.
Sure.
You know, it's confusing that the First Order is the second one.
Is there a... We don't know the lineage of this still, right? I'm trying to think, like...
What do you mean?
Like, where how the Empire goes to be the First Order. Like, that's not a story that's been told in anything I've read.
From what I've seen on the Wikipedia, basically, a core group of hardcore Imperials fled the galaxy into the, what was it, unknown space or dark space or wild space or something? And now they're back.
That's past the Outer Rim?
Past the Outer Rim, yeah.
So did they flee before or after the Emperor died?
After. It was like five years afterwards.
Oh, okay. So they went out.
The Empire limped along for another 5 years before they completely surrendered. Then
that makes sense.
That's when they fled to. It's like Argentina.
Like, man, you know the problem with the Empire was? They weren't hardcore enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The flaps on the officers' hats were not quite tall enough.
You know what their TIE fighters didn't have? Enough red.
Yeah.
They were redless.
I have a note about that.
I have a lot of TIE fighter notes for the next minute.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right.
The only thing I'll say, did you have the thing about the red helmets?
No, you can.
You're the guest, so I feel like I should refer to you. The helmets, like this is on the Wikipedia, the TIE fighters that, you know, the ones that they're getting into have kind of like a red trim on them, and I'm assuming Josh is going to tell us all about those tomorrow. But the pilots who wear those also have red trim on their helmets, and, quote, pilots had red flashes on their helmets as a callback to flight barons of the Galactic Empire. Now, Flight Barons of the Galactic Empire is an awesome name for something that should definitely be used. But there was no link as to what Flight Barons were.
So they're like German World War One pilots.
I guess
that's
so.
We're led to believe the red. You know, I mean, that's
I don't know.
I want to see Snoopy flying TIE fighter.
World War One flying ace. Here's the World War One flying ace who flies the TIE. I like how TIE fighters have leashes.
Yeah, there's a lot of the. I mean, I don't know if this is how much of this is we're saving, but the fact that they're kind of stored in a rack on the wall like that, and the fact that they have leashes, or it's all like, it's all cool new stuff, new wrinkles that I like. You know, it's like, oh, here's like, it's familiar enough that it's like, oh yeah, there's a TIE fighter, obviously, but then it's also there's a couple of new wrinkles to it, and the seeing them kind of stacked up on the wall like that and tethered is very cool.
Yeah, and also there's, you know, there's the, you sort of get an idea of how the system works. So there's like a little staircase next to him that's covered, and you know, that's where you enter, and because the floor is angled, you can get up in it without, you know, being able to lower the, you know, they don't have to go up the ladder. It's just kind of, it's cool. And that's one of those like practical things that I really like that isn't explained. They're not telling us, but you can sort of see it there, especially if you freeze it. I like that. It shows how it works. Like I always think of there's a lot of that in Lord of the Rings. Like the Battle of Helm's Deep was very like, here's how these things work. And I always like that part of it. And I think this is a good example of that.
But without being too much like,
right,
too focused on it. And without like, I'm glad they didn't get up there and like this, you know, magical, not magical, but you know, the stairs didn't like unfold and, you know, like a snake like carpet.
Like in the Flight of the Navigator.
Right, yeah.
They all melt into place and then float for no reason.
I'm glad none of that happened.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was I remember being surprised when we saw the TIE fighters there, because up until now, the kind of legend had had it that TIE fighters were like hung from the ceiling and they couldn't actually rest on the wings. They would like break if they rested on the wings. Right. So I was disappointed we didn't get to see finally get to see someone climbing into them from the top, which I think would look pretty cool.
Well, if you pan the camera hard left, it's just a pile of broken wing TIE fighters.
You're supposed to take those broken wings and learn to fly again.
I can't listen, Mister. That's right, right?
I think so,
Doctor Mister.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm assuming that that's a design improvement made by the First Order, because so they can more easily fit two people in there, because they realized they needed a gunner.
Yeah. Well, the notes that I have for tomorrow, and we've gone for a bit, but are about the TIE fighter itself and sort of the differences between this one and the last one. So right, that we can tease that.
Well, let's table the TIE fighter talk for now.
Well, with that old idea of how it was done, like, where did that come from, though? Was that just one of those sort of rumors that all of us kids made up and that got around the entire country that we all knew but that there was no basis for?
I want to say a West End Games source book, but that's my default answer for a lot of things.
Yeah.
I know, like, in Return of the
where'd
Jedi.
Where'd you park the car? West End Games source book. What? What do you want for dinner tonight? West End Games source book.
It's not going well at the retailer mansion.
In the in Return of the Jedi, one of the map paintings of the hangar of the Death Star 2, you can see a TIE bomber hanging from up in the rafters.
You know what that feels like, though? If you've ever,
what does it feel like?
I feel like I don't even know if I've ever seen this, but it feels like my idea of how carriers would be stacked with planes and aircraft and stuff like that. But I might just be thinking of like the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, where they're hanging planes from the ceiling.
Right.
But I feel like
you can
stack them on the walls here. This is when they're ready to deploy. But like somewhere else in the ship, sure, they'd hang a bunch from the ceiling.
Well, I think at that point, if they're just keeping them in storage, I think a better solution would be to just like have the wings be removable, because then that's your big storage problem. Awkward thing. They should store the wings and the thing other and the pods separately. So that way, you know, it's more space efficient. Space efficient. Get it?
I didn't. I didn't come here to argue with you about TIE fighter storage. You know why?
Why?
Because storage TIE fighters ain't my business. I didn't mean to start that, but then I was on the road and I had to go.
Once you were there, you had to finish it.
Yeah.
Gotta commit.
Well, stepping aside from TIE fighters for a minute. We have two new First Order officers.
Oh yeah,
in this minute, and they're good ones. Well, I mean, I think these are pretty much their only lines. So
some of them probably die immediately, right? When Finn starts shooting everybody.
I don't know.
Doesn't he blow out that whole like command area where some of them are? Anyway, go ahead. Tell us. Tell us about the officers.
When the TIE fighter goes out and starts, you know, waggling around on the end of the leash, again, no one really says anything for a bit.
Yeah.
It takes an official, like,
We gotta save that. We gotta save it. Oh no, they do start flying away in this.
It starts flying away, and then no one noticed it sort of wiggling around for a little bit until these two officers show up and they're like, "We have a thing going on here." Oh, really? Like, yes, we can see it. It's right there. But my note here is, and I wrote Imperial again, but good Imperial officers. Right away, I thought, oh, these are good ones. So please tell me more.
Well,
it is possible that TIE fighters do that all the time. Like, people are constantly forgetting to unlatch the leash and then, like, you know, getting snagged. So it might not be that rare of an occurrence.
I can't say that's not true.
Right. Like, once they started to go, and then normally they would be like, land and be like, oh, stupid, you know, KR-4214, like, left his cable on again. But now, instead, once he, like, kind of keeps struggling with it and starts blasting stuff, then they're like, well, now we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Why do they have those things?
Charging.
Yeah, probably.
You think it's like a... Well, that's a terrible system, then, that it stops the whole ship from flying away rather than just detaching. You know what I mean?
Well, it works again, in this aircraft case, carriers. Temporarily.
Yeah. Or, yeah, maybe it's like a bike lock.
Yeah.
Like, you need the key.
So they're just trying to stop people from leaving.
It happens all the time. So it's just like, you know.
That's true, by the way. Like, those would need to be, you'd need to authorize that. I feel like a lot of people would try to make a break for it. Although these people are zealots, so.
We'll talk about this more later on in the week once they start going. But
sure.
All right. Well, the guy who notices and reports the unsanctioned departure. We've got unsanctioned departure. I forget exactly the words, but that is Petty
Bay
Officer.
Two.
Sorry?
In Bay number 2.
Oh, in Bay 2. Petty Officer Thanason.
Thanason.
Which I want to say, I know this world is killing him.
I want to cut it up and have some nice Thanason steaks.
I will go with a combination of Thanos and Anison.
Oh, there you go.
It wants to destroy your world, but it'll take care of your headache.
You know what? It's worth it. Thanason is played by Thomas Brody Sangster.
Oh, the drummer kid.
Is it drummer kid?
He's the drummer kid from Love Actually. Liam Neeson's adopted son.
Oh, yeah. And he's also Jojen Reed on Game of Thrones.
Yep.
He played Paul McCartney in Nowhere Boy. Wrong show.
Yes.
And he is the voice of the titular Ferb of Phineas and...
Oh.
So he was one previously involved in a Star Wars related project in that Star Wars, the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars episode. Which was
So that means we are only 2 degrees of separation away from the drummer kid.
Yep, theoretically. So it means we're 3 degrees away from Paul McCartney.
Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't know Paul McCartney, does he?
Is this the closest you've ever gotten?
To Paul?
In a Star Wars context? No, I'm sure in Empire Strikes Back, he was all over the place there.
Paul McCartney, yeah.
Well, you know, like he was right outside, like, you know, like Eric Idle brought him over and they all did drugs.
They were stormtroopers.
It's true. There you go.
I think Paul McCartney was in Star Wars X-Wings, right?
Paul McCartney X-Wings.
Wow.
That was a good one. Good job, Alex.
Thank you.
The officer, the colonel, if you will, who Petty Officer Thanason is reporting to, that's Colonel Kaplan.
Colonel Kaplan. I saw the name Kaplan and it struck me as very earthy.
Yeah.
Well, his cap is quite impressive.
Colonel Kaplan with the cap.
Yeah.
Colonel Kaplan is played by Pip Torrens, which sounds like a much more Star Wars-y name.
It does. Yeah. Maybe they had to go the opposite way with him because he couldn't buy it.
Yeah. They were like, it's too Star Wars. They should have just named him that.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been Officer Torrens. Pip Torrens is best known to me as Tommy from The Crown.
Tommy?
Tommy, the guy who got everything done, the guy who was the kind of master of the house.
Okay, right.
Parcels with the mustache. Or something.
Yeah.
He's a fine sort of mustache twirly villain voice kind of First Order officer here. Really, like, top shelf. I mean, not compared to Hux, but we'll get to that.
Hux is a different sort.
Yeah.
Oh, Hux is an apex. I mean,
in his own category.
Yeah.
Right. He was also, so here's his, I'm wondering what, we've talked about this, what the new, everybody who was in, you know, Star Wars and Empire and all that, they were in, what James Bond movie were they in, you know, who were they in Superman, et cetera. And we're wondering what movie that's going to be with these.
Is it not Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones might keep coming up. I know that Fanison was in Game of Thrones, but
Phasma, and there's I bet there's others. I bet if you get in, well, we'll see. I guess you'll see as you keep going.
Well, Pip Torrens has some old school credits because he was he's got a James Bond movie. He was the HMS Bedford captain in Tomorrow Never Dies.
James
Bond movie, and he played Howard Carter in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
President Howard Carter?
Yes.
Howard Carter Taft?
Carter Hall is the guy who...
Hawkman.
Is Hawkman. But who discovered... Who's the actual Earth human who discovered the... not discovered the pyramids, but like kind of... Steve Martin. There you go.
Steve Martin discovered the pyramids. that's a good... I know who you're talking about, but that I'm not getting it. So.
It's something like Carter Hall or Howard Carter. Yeah,
It's not Lord... like, isn't it Carter? Howard
Lord
Carter?
Lord Alfred that Hayes.
That's right. Oh, I gotta look
I don't know. But I'm wondering if he played that real person or if he just played an associate of Indies at some point named Howard Carter. But
Howard Carter is the Egyptologist who discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
So that's those are his bona fides.
Yeah, it would be hard to discover the pyramids as they are gigantic desert triangles.
Well, hey, you know, dude, nothing's going to stop white people from trying.
Look what we found!
Columbus discovered a whole continent.
Yeah.
It's a good
pyramids
point.
Are nothing.
Go white people. I don't mean that, but I also
no, you were saying go as in get out of here, white people.
Right. Well, get out of here, you white people.
I do have a personal stake, so it's difficult.
Wait, you got a stake? Oh man.
officer's name?
Fanison stake.
It's a Fanison stake.
It's a Pip Torrens stake.
I have a sprain of my Pip Torrens.
That does sound like a very Star Wars-y name.
Yeah,
it really does.
Like a pod racer, maybe.
And that's also knowing him as Tommy LaSalle's in The Crown. It is not an actor who I would think his first name was Pip.
Yeah, really.
Pip feels like a British theater nickname.
It's probably short for like Philip or something.
Yeah. And he's, you know, like
Pippinstein.
It's one of those like aristocratic men, British nickname kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like this dear old Pippin. They shortened it to Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Philip Dean Pip Torrens. So you're right.
That's his full name?
Yes.
Okay.
Philip Dean.
He's also in that Preacher show. You've been watching that, Josh? I know you're a Preacher fan.
No.
Oh, wow.
I watched the first one or two, and I saw it. I can't do this.
He's Herr Star.
Oh.
Interesting.
I can see that.
Herr Star.
Well, is Herr Star supposed to be German? I mean, he's Herr. I guess he would be. I don't think about it in terms of the comic because it wasn't like written with a phonetic accent. So I don't think
he was wearing a monocle.
Everything that was phonetic in Preacher and all of Garth Ennis's stuff tends to be written out in the phonetic accent, which is the one thing I don't like about Garth Ennis's writing because I find that to be incredibly difficult to read for a long period of time. But
you gotta say it out loud.
Yeah,
you gotta shout
it
out.
He's good at it. He's really good at it. But like, if you read like all the Arseface stuff, you know, in its phonetic, it gets hard.
Yeah. Right.
I went far afield there. So he's in that show, eh?
I started it by bringing up Preacher.
Yeah.
But that's it for we'll have more first order officers as we go on.
Awesome.
But those are the only two for this minute.
Now, Pete, you're famous for your love of Imperial officers. Does that translate to first order officers too?
Yeah. Because it's
love,
you know,
man in person in uniform.
Similar, yeah. I love a man in uniform,
or woman.
Well, yeah, we'll get some of those too this week, I think. But the there's a lot of the same details, and they've just stacked them with just such kind of rich, you know, like one-off, amazing actors. You know, that it's again, it's the same deal where it's just like, oh, that guy was, you know, Jesus, and that guy was Hitler, and now you go. Look up the same things and be like, oh, he was, you know, Tommy and Carter Hall or Howard Carter.
Well, I guess if you're not like a famous actor, then it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do being a popular movie. That's a weird theory I have, but no, you can only now for the rest of his life, Tommy LaSalle can go on the convention circuit and say, yeah, I played Lieutenant Kaplan or Pip, whatever the character's name was.
Pip Strebeck.
The character that should have been named Pip Torrens.
Right.
He played Gabe Kaplan in the Welcome Back, Kotter biopic.
The gritty reboot. It's just called Kotter.
You know what? It was a risky casting, though, because he's very unlike Gabe Kaplan.
It's acting, dear boy.
Brilliant!
Well, do we have anything else for minute 21? Before we have a lot more Finn, Poe, Lieutenant Kaplan, and company the rest of the week.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm
all right.
Anxious to hear Josh's TIE Fighter material for tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of buildup.
I've already oversold it.
Well, you have a whole other day to do more research if you want.
All right, I'm going to get a good night's sleep.
While Josh is doing that, I'm going to be going over on Twitter, which is the thing that cures sleep. It is my handle over there is @arobtwit. And Pete, what's your handle over there?
Why, I'm Pete the Retailer.
Just straight PETETHERETALIER.
Wow.
If you say so.
And Josh, what's your Twitter handle over there?
I'm J.A. Flanagan when I haven't quit it in disgust.
Well, so there you go. There's three new accounts you can follow if you don't follow us already. And in the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with another brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.